Mr. Pendergraft, the man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah, you better put that in all caps.
How you doing, my brother?
I am great. Got to fit on my billboard, yeah. Well, it's good to be back on the Ramble Room, and it's especially good to be here with my brother. We decided that, Tony Locke and I decided, that we're probably pretty much stuck with each other for the rest of our lives. Welcome back, Tony. Great to have you around.
Hey, Ken, my brother. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you having me on.
Well, I will have you on, but I will never put you on. How's that?
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. God bless, my brother.
So remind our audience where you're at, what you're running for. Give us just a little bit and throw in a plug for your website or contact information while you're at it, and we'll catch that again at the end.
Sounds great. Tony Locke, I'm running for House District 35. That's on the east side of Natrona County, east side of Casper, really, over there. And I'm running for re-election this year. And my website is lockforyo.com. That's lockforyo.com. And I would love to have you go there, put your contact info in there, get on my email list, go, come to my town halls. Love to have you engaged.
And folks, you need to do what you can to help Tony. He's in a critical race, and Tony is one of those... maybe the term's a little overused, but he's one of those rock stars down there in Cheyenne, and we need him there. He is an absolute lion or a tiger. I don't know. Maybe you're a liger. You got to be careful how you say that. But,
exactly.
Especially having to do recently with property taxes. He's been kind of our go-to guy and our guru and the tip of the spear where that's concerned. But somebody's come out of the darkness and wants to run against Tony, and he put out a flyer and it had some bullet points on it, and we were going to go through this. We're not going to mention his name. He's just the opponent. I think he's a delusional communist, frankly, but I'll let you make up your own mind now that I've tainted it. His flyer says, and I'm gonna read these bullet points, and I'm going to let Tony just kind of respond to that. And if he doesn't get everything, I'm thinking I'll throw a thing or two in. Fair enough?
Sounds great to me.
All right. He says on his flyer, I am running to ... Bullet point number one, make Wyoming safer, : implement complete public safety measures to ensure that all families feel secure in their neighborhoods. What do you think, Tony?
Somehow implementing more laws. I'm not sure what these public safety measures are, but somehow implementing more laws is going to make you safer. So more control will make you safer. I think we build a stronger Wyoming, stronger and safer Wyoming by getting the government out of the way, building a strong people, leaving money in their pockets, and allowing our families to be strong that way. And giving them the tools and the rights and the freedoms to be strong. That builds a strong people. Implement complete safety measures. Oh, don't worry. We'll make you safe, believe me.
He doesn't even say that. He says, implement complete public safety measures to ensure that all families feel secure.
Excellent catch.
Yeah, you're not actually going to be more safe. You're just going to feel like you are. Because it's all about how you feel. Well, the first
thing... We'll do it all for you.
First thing they're going to do to complete public safety measures. What do you want to bet that, quote-unquote, common sense gun laws would go into that?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, yeah.
Absolutely. I'm pretty sure that'll have to include you can't say certain things.
Yeah.
You know, we'll probably talk about that pesky Constitution over and over again, but... certainly this is a case. Don't safe places, you know, safe places, can't say certain things, freedom of speech. Some of those things would have to be wrapped up in this, I'm sure.
I would think so. His second bullet point, it just keeps getting better. Encourage young families to stay. Promote Wyoming as an attractive destination for young families by offering incentives for home ownership, support community-oriented developments, and creating family-friendly public spaces. First of all, promote Wyoming as an attractive destination for young families by offering incentives for home ownership. Go, Tony.
Oh, my goodness. So I'm sure that will probably mean that your property taxes will somehow have to go up more to make sure that we can create a new pool of money for those incentives.
Yeah. We call that
I'm sure we need that money for those offering incentives. We'll need that money from somewhere. Who knows? I have to be higher property taxes, but you know how much I love that.
You're breaking up a little bit, Tony, but it sounds to me like picking winners and losers. It sounds like redistribution of wealth. Promote at the first little part there, promote Wyoming as an attractive destination for young families. There's a part of me that says, quite frankly, no thanks. We got enough families here. I don't mind young people, and you that know me, you know that I don't really mean it that way. But this is just more gobbledygook BS. A way of covering, we're going to create a way for government to pick winners and losers and redistribute the wealth to mold society the way that we think it should be.
Absolutely. In fact, promoting Wyoming as an attractive destination for young families. So somehow the government thinks they do that. And the sad truth is the government does do that, but not with hands on. The government does that by getting out of the way. Okay, you want to promote an attractive destination, create that business-rich environment, mm-hmm. right? Rather than, we'll control it, and then the government will go pick winners and losers in that path. That is not the right answer. It aligns with all of those mistakes that get made by government.
Right. Let's take that just a step farther. You know, I grew up here in Wyoming. And I remember going to the mountains, for example, back in the 60s and the 70s. And it was basically wide open. You could pretty much do anything you blankety-blank well pleased. And today when you go up there, there's rules and regulations. You can't park here. You can't camp there. You got to do this. You got to call somebody in Bolivia or wherever it is to make an appointment to go park your camper for the evening at some place. And on and on and on. If you want it to be an attractive destination for young families, as you say, get out of the way.
Get out of the way.
Yeah, the more they go in there and try to improve and mess with things and make it fair, the worse it gets. We've all seen that. Let's go down here to the third bullet point. This one is rich. Now, understand that this particular character is entrenched in the WEA, the Wyoming Education Association. These are people who, for the last 100 years, have been building an educational utopia with tons and tons of money forced out of the hands of Wyoming citizens. And you say, oh, well, you know, the minerals paid for that. Well, the mineral companies don't pay those taxes. When you buy gas, when you heat your home, that's how this is paid for. But keep bearing in mind, this is somebody who's been a part of the education establishment for a long time. Now, after all of this, I'm running to improve the quality of education. I'm going to advocate for appropriate funding and innovative programs in schools to create a top-tier education system that prepares our youth for the future and guarantees that every child receives a high-quality education.
So improve the quality of education and advocate for funding and innovative programs. Advocating for appropriate funding. Are we not funded currently somewhere in the top 3?
Yeah.
highest paid per student funding here in Wyoming.
It's right at $20,000 per student per year.
Fantastic. I did not know the number. That is fantastic. But I know we're very high up in terms of funding per student. He's been in the education system for a long time. So now we're going to work on
innovative program.
improving this. The truth is, the school system has an obligation to educate. I would ask people, do we believe that currently our students are being educated as well as, are we getting better with the fact that we continue to shoot up? I believe the education system funding has increased. I could have these numbers wrong a little bit, Ken, but I want to say it's somewhere in the 70 or 80% they've increased over the last 6 years, right? And here is a person who's advocating for more money to create new innovative programs in schools. Well, the truth is they have an obligation to teach the core items such as, you know, math and English and science. And what's happening is we're now commingling so much other stuff in there that it's gotten very convoluted. And the education part, I believe, is what has the potential of being impacted here.
There's another thing that's buried in that. The last little bit of that says every child receives a high quality education, and one of the problems is they look at a child as a product, or as education as a product, and that basically you can deliver the same thing to every child. It doesn't work that way. Every child is different. Some children are going to take to a traditional education. Others want to go out and build things. Others want to go out and tear things down. Part of the problem with the current education system is they try to put everybody into a box for efficiency's sake. So all these kids are the same. And they force little boys in second grade to go sit in a desk all day and learn that way. Man, you talk to some homeschoolers that have got kids out there, especially if they happen to be, you know, available to ranching or something. Those kids learn all kinds of things and never sit down, except maybe in the seat of a tractor for an hour or two. It is just a pattern that has proven itself not to be very effective. And their answer is, let's throw more money in it. Let's advocate for appropriate funding. If we just had more money, that's how I see it.
That's a great point. It's very much a throw money at this problem and it'll get better.
Yeah.
And it is my understanding that actually our the number of students, as we've seen these numbers go up, it's actually my understanding that the student population in the state isn't actually increasing. In fact, it might be decreasing. Do you have a little insight into that, Ken? Or?
I believe that recently there has been a little bit of a drop.
Interesting.
Since COVID, it's been a little bit chaotic because of COVID and the aftermath, the popularity of homeschooling has gone up exponentially, not just among the traditional Christian conservatives where that established homeschooling people have been, but there are an awful lot of people that have discovered that there are other ways that they can educate their kids, and they're liking the results. The kids are enjoying it better. It may not be for everybody. And that's part of what I was getting at before was they want to educate every child their way. Well, you know
right.
what? I could introduce you all kinds of kids that would never get a high-quality education through their process. They might get dumbed down and brain dead, but that's a whole other thing.
That's absolutely a great point.
Let's hit the next one. You're making my head big, by the way. You keep talking about how great.
Hey, man, you're doing awesome.
Great minds think alike.
Well, I'm trying to suck a little bit of that, that amazing brain over to my side. So.
Oh, stop. So anyway.
Too much? Okay.
Bullet point, yeah. The check's in the mail, okay. Bullet point number four. Bullet point number four, prioritize civic integrity. What what does that even mean, civic integrity? If we talk about integrity in the election, for example, we're all opposed to any of that. What is civic integrity? Any ideas?
I honestly read some of these bullets and just a little bit ago, and I was a little confused. So I don't know that I can fully interpret that one, other than following on after that.
Yeah, maybe what he wants to do will kind of fill us in on that. He wants to develop a government. Okay, that to me is a red flag right off the bat. Develop more government. In order to get civic integrity, we're going to develop a government that operates with civility and transparency. Who was it that was screaming about, boy, we don't want the cameras and the microphones on the House floor anymore? It's our old buddy Steve Harshman, right?
The same people who are asking for civility. Mm-hmm. Now, the way civility gets used by many of these people from what I will now refer to as the establishment, okay, what they mean by civility is compliance, okay? So when people say we're going to develop a government that operates with civility, what they mean is compliance. And here again, that pesky Constitution, that means you can't say things that you feel, that you believe. You can't do that because, man, that saying those things just may not be civil, right? And when they claim transparency, I don't fear people seeing how I vote. When I expose the vote of those people, they get angry.
Yeah.
How much transparency do you really think they want?
It goes beyond that, too, because rather than having the legislature be responsible for the spending, we want to create almost 700 coffee cans out there that create trust funds, and then we put a board in charge of that that virtually answers to nobody, and they spend the money. They promulgate the rules. That's not transparency.
Absolutely not.
Actively seeking to hear all voices. I call bullshit. Sorry.
You're probably right.
Actively seeking to hear all. How many of us got to sit in committees and have any kind of a meaningful role in them? Go ahead.
No, you're exactly right. Actively seeking to hear all voices, except for those that aren't convenient, okay? Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing. The people who want to control the narrative, this is exactly the type of statement. Prioritize civic integrity, developing a government that operates with civility and transparency, actively seeking to hear all voices. That starts to be one of those, as long as you operate within our framework.
Yeah.
That's what that's all about.
Don't be partisan. Don't pick a side.
That's right. Because you want to know how true, you want to know what a true intellectually honest conversation looks like? Civil discourse, where you're civil and respectful and you have differing opinions and you could sit there and discuss a topic in disagreement, right?
Yeah.
That's transparency.
Yeah.
That's an honest and an intellectually integrity type of conversation.
I like the sentence in there, actively seeking to hear all voices. Go to any committee meeting and listen to public comment that is almost non-existent or how it's limited.
It's true. It is true. One thing I want to say about this little piece.
Okay.
This whole civility thing has been used as a hammer, okay, over time. To try to hammer people into not saying the things that are speaking truth that is inconsistent with the narrative, right?
Exactly.
And these are the words that they continually use to try to get us to comply. And everybody needs to keep that in mind. These words are used for nothing more than to force compliance. And the truth is, if you really want transparency, we need people speaking the truth, coming out, asking the real hard questions, and forcing us as legislators to answer their true hard questions.
Civility seems to mean if you have an opposing view to the popular narrative, by popular narrative, I mean what they want to put out, to be civil is to sit down and shut up.
Absolutely. Politically correct speech has stopped people from speaking truth. And that has harmed our society.
Exactly. Last point. We want to encourage community-based governance. We're going to establish policies. The word establish means that you're going to build a foundation. You're going to start by putting something there that hasn't been there before. We're going to establish policies that focus on local communities' needs and aspirations. I can hardly read this with a straight face. Allowing residents to play a direct role in shaping decisions affecting their lives and livelihoods. We have a thing called elections. We elect community leaders. We elect county leaders. All of these with school boards, all these things are in here. What policies could you possibly establish, and what does it mean to focus on local communities' needs and aspirations? Any ideas?
I got to be honest with you. I've read this one once or twice. Encourage community-based governance. I'm pretty sure we function with a, you know, kind of a, we have a governing process that it kind of tries to act like it agrees with our governing process a little bit. But to be honest with you, establishes policies. Again, this is one of those things that looks like they're trying to build a fence, a tighter fence around, you know, how, around our people and how they're allowed to engage in the governance. So this is just a difficult one to read and understand what's going on here.
I guess the long and short of it is when you get a flyer, yeah, it looks nice, you know, it's well produced and most of the words are spelled right and things like that. But when you look at it, something like this, think about it critically. Look at what is being said. Does he actually saying anything, or is this candidate just blowing smoke? He's trying to say things that sound good that without really saying anything, and I would say, yeah. Last thoughts before we go on to the next.
You know, just interestingly enough, so establishing policies that focus on local communities' needs and aspirations. Okay, so I understand we have this representative government. So this somehow kind of sort of almost acts like it's trying to fit into that. But every one of you notice in every one of these bullets are something about we, the government, are going to establish those policies.
Yeah.
And yes, there's always has to be some government implementation in all of these things. But you notice all of these things are every one of these bullets starts to go more policies, more rules, more laws. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
All to try to wrap more of a fence around what the people, you know, how the people are allowed to engage with the government. I say take the power out of the upper levels, take the power out of Cheyenne, take the power out of the top levels, and start rolling it down to the lowest possible level at which it can be there. So take a different approach of trying to figure out how the government will draw a bunch of lines you can follow so you can engage in the process. How about removing that and taking some power out of the top level government, putting them back in the people's pockets? Might be a better way to approach this.
That's why I call you brother. Great minds think alike. I appreciate it. So joining me today is Representative Jeanette Ward out of Casper. I forget the district number. Which is it?
District 57, Mike Hines 57.
Oh, that's right. That's right. All I could think of was 58, and I knew that was Bill. But anyway, great to have you on. Look forward to some more conversations in the near future.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anything that I can do to help the cause. You know, there used to be kind of a traditional deal that if there was a sitting legislator in your party, you didn't come out and try to help them or get involved in the primaries. But at this point, the gloves are off. You said on a recent Facebook post, and you were absolutely right, the only way to get this done is to change the butts in the seats. And so I, for one, am going to do everything I can unabashedly to get true conservatives reelected. Just take a minute, if you would, and reintroduce yourself to our audience and let them know who you are and what's going on.
Yep, like you said, I'm the sitting state rep in House District 57. I indeed came here from Illinois fleeing tyranny, and I love Wyoming, and I want to keep Wyoming free, and that's why I'm continuing to run for office. I'm pro-life, pro-freedom, pro-Second Amendment, and pro-family, and if you reelect me and go to JW4W.com, you can help me. If you reelect me, I'll continue to fight for those things.
And a fighter she is, folks. And I want to address something right off the bat. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors out there. A lot of people standing up and beating their chest saying, I'm a fourth, fifth, sixth generation Wyoming native. And, you know, unless you've been here and been cultured in this, you can't possibly understand Wyoming. That's a bunch of bunk. My family goes back as far as anybody does in Wyoming to right after the Civil War. And there are people that are coming here like yourself that recognize this is kind of the last bastion of hope. And you're coming here to help preserve what's here from people who might be asleep. Yes. Give us your thoughts.
Well, you know, I want to make sure that here doesn't become like there. Where I came from. And I've seen this story before, seen this movie, read this book. I know where this goes. And I will fight with everything I have to make sure that doesn't happen here. And you know, there was a time when people judged you by the content of your character, not the color of your skin or where you came from, but your ideas. And your ideas are what are important. And the people of my district, I love the people of my district. They hold these ideals dear. They are pro-life. They are pro-family, pro-Second Amendment, and pro-freedom. And that's why they elected me, and that's why I believe they will re-elect me, and I'll continue to fight for them.
Well, anybody that's here came here from somewhere else. This isn't the garden. This isn't the Garden of Eden. This isn't the bed of civilization. We all came from somewhere else, and whether it was we or our parents, they came here for specific reasons, good, bad, indifferent. They came here. Those of us that simply just showed up here as a result of natural propagation, that doesn't really say a lot. Now, I left Wyoming, did some soldiering for a number of years, lived all over the world, and when I finally had the opportunity to live anywhere I wanted to live, I came right back home. I made that choice.
Thank you for your service, brother.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your service.
Absolutely. And I really respect people like yourself and our friend Tom Kelly and several others who have, as you say, you've been there, done that, you read the book, you know how it ends, and you come here and you recognize things that are coming up that maybe some of the people that are here are a little bit in denial. We hear, how many times did you hear, that just doesn't happen in Wyoming? And man, right. It isn't. It feels like it's just not more than a couple weeks after that. We even got some of that argument. You sponsored a great bill. I believe it was House Bill 50, the What Is a Woman Act. And proud to have co-sponsored that with you. And tell us about some of the pushback. What did you hear as we introduced that bill?
Well, and it's like you said, a lot of the reps who didn't vote for it, by the way, in a supermajority Republican House, 19 Republicans voted against it. They say it's not happening here. But I'm telling you, it is happening here. And I have a person who contacted me. It's happening at Laramie High School. Poor girl is being forced to share her bathroom with a biological man. Mm-hmm. There is no way that should be happening in Wyoming, but it is. So don't tell me it's not happening here. And Laramie High School is not the only high school where it's happening.
It's the same people that also, they're very often proponents of what we call red flag laws. And we even heard it. I heard it twice on the House floor this year. Somebody stand up and say, even if it just saved one life, wouldn't it be worth it? And yet they won't transmit that kind of preventive, proactive thinking to bills like this. They're going to sit around and wait till it becomes a real problem and then try to react to it, perhaps, or maybe they actually want it to happen. Some of them, I think they do. It just is another example of an inconsistency in left-wing thinking.
Very much so. And my bill is very timely, and thank you for being a co-sponsor. I so appreciate that. But it was timely because just last month, the Biden administration effectively repealed Title IX by implementing new and illegal regulations, right? Title IX, the original purpose of Title IX was to protect women and girls in their own sports. Women and girls deserve to be champions in their own sports. And the Biden administration unilaterally declared that girls-only sports and spaces are now illegal discrimination. They did this outside the legislature. It's incredible what they are doing. It's never been done. And yet our governor has yet to join the over 20 states now that are suing Biden's endangerment of females. Why hasn't he? What kind of a governor doesn't protect girls and women? What kind of a man doesn't protect girls and women?
I have to wholeheartedly agree. I've said on several places, you know, we're not supposed to criticize each other. We're supposed to be civil and all that. Well, you know what? When people go out and do dumbass things, it's time to call them on it. And we saw that. We had several bills that we passed, like 54-7, the gun-free zones bill. And he vetoed it. What are you thinking? And my next question is closely related. In Wyoming, we have an attorney general that basically is appointed by and works at the pleasure of the governor. We would love to change that. How do you think it might have played out maybe a little differently if we had had an AG elected by the people? Any thoughts on that?
Well, there was actually a bill to do that. I think I co-sponsored that one, but obviously it would play out a lot differently. Because the people of Wyoming love their freedom, they love common sense, and they would not allow this to happen. So I am fully in support of having the Attorney General be elected by we the people of Wyoming. And I believe if that were the case, the Attorney General would have sued the Biden administration. And it's appropriate to sue the Biden administration in this case.
Absolutely. Back in 23 in the general session, you ran another bill. I believe it was called then House Bill 66. Tell us about that one and what happened.
So House Bill 66 was you can't be discriminated against for not getting vaccinated, not wearing a mask, or not getting tested. And I also ran a House Bill 143, which would have outlawed the CDC and WHO's influence here in Wyoming. Then I reran it in this past session, and it died in the speaker's desk. So that's the CDC and WHO bill. Now, that particular one is also very timely because we're getting ready to have a treaty where the WHO will have illegal jurisdiction in the United States, and my bill would have prevented that from happening in Wyoming.
You took some criticism on Facebook from someone who basically said, Jeanette, if you can't read the political climate, your failure is not something to be touted. I believe that's kind of the gist of what he was saying. What's your response to that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that the people of my district and we, the people of Wyoming, need to pay attention to those 19 Republicans who killed what is a Woman Act and the other Republicans who voted against protecting Wyoming from the CDC and whose illegal jurisdiction. The people of Wyoming need to know who did that. And I will not stop pointing that out.
Yeah, I completely agree, and that's why we're here, and that's at least a part of why we're doing this, besides the fact that it's just fun to get together. But I responded to that, and I kind of threw it back at him. I said, no, you're the one, sir, that doesn't understand the political climate. He seemed to have this idea that if you understand the political climate and you play nicely, that you'll be able to get things accomplished. Well, there are certain things that we know we're not going to get accomplished with the butts that are in the seats currently. And so we're working change that so that we can do things that we believe the majority of Wyoming folk, good Wyoming folk, whether they came here a year ago or they've been here for 150 years, that they would believe in and support. So that's where we're coming from, and that's what we're working with. I find myself very much pleased to be working with Jeanette often, and love to see her get up behind the microphone and watch some of the folks on the other side of the aisle, so to speak, kind of shudder.
Likewise, my brother.
Here it goes again. It is kind of fun, isn't it? But it's getting to the point, though, where it's not really a game. You know, there's this hue and cry out there, you guys are uncivil. And I think to them, civility means you just lay down and take it. And we get these god-awful lectures from people like Tom Lubnow trying to preach to us about how this is how things should be done. This is how you should act. You should all go down to the hitching post and get drunk together. And basically, you should just give up and let us run things. Because that's how it's been done in Wyoming for the last 60 or 70 years. Well, you know what? We're sick of that.
Well, I can't speak to, because I haven't had personal experience with the 60 or 70 years. As you know, I came here from a communist state. But I also want to make sure that it doesn't happen here. I love Wyoming. I'm so happy to be here. I wanted to tell a story a little bit of how I end up coming here. You know, we took a driving vacation to see where we were going to move because we knew we had to leave Illinois. And when I came to Casper, it was one of the first places I saw constitutional carry for the first time. Because Illinois is a gun Siberia.
Right.
So when I saw constitutional carry, I was like, I said to my husband, would you look at that? Constitutional carry, these are people. So I understand and am grateful to be in Wyoming, and I will fight to keep her free.
I constitutional or open carry most of the time. I also concealed carry, kind of depends on where it is. But I remember being up on the mountain fishing off of a dam, and this couple walked by, and it was obvious that they were European. You could just tell by dress. And then when they got close enough that you could hear them talking to each other, I didn't even know what they were speaking. It didn't really matter. But they walked by, and I kind of, morning, folks, you know, and they just kind of looked at me kind of shocked and stunned and shuffled on off to Buffalo. Through the day, I bumped into them two or three more times. And the last time we were going down a pathway in opposite directions, and I passed them, so we're basically shoulder to shoulder, and I said, good afternoon. And they just stared at me and went on back. And then if you've had that feeling that somebody's just staring holes in the back of your head, you know, and I stopped and turned around, and they're both there with their cameras out taking pictures of me. And I thought, that's just freaky, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. It didn't dawn on me for two or three days. They probably had never seen anybody carrying a sidearm.
Yeah.
But yep. Anyway, just one of those funny little...
And also, I noticed all these signs on the grocery stores at that time. You have to wear a mask, you have to wear a mask. But most of the people not complying. Again, one of the things I love about the people of my district and the people of Wyoming is so different from where I came from, where every shopping trip was like going to war because all the people complied like sheep.
Yeah.
There were so few who were willing to stand up, and people are willing to stand up here. God bless Wyoming.
Yeah. You know, I personally never once wore a mask. I went everywhere just as I always did. And I think the entire time that that was going on, and I would say here in Sheridan, basically it was after about 6 months, you didn't hardly see anybody wearing a mask. They just said, you know, this is dumb. But I had one person one time challenge me and say, why aren't you wearing a mask? And I said, because it's illegal when you're carrying. he walked away and left. But anyway, what's happening with your reelection? Now, we understand that when you, if you kind of go along to get along, it's not too big a deal. You don't get a lot of flack. But man, you're catching some flack. You know, they say that flack is always heaviest when you're right over the target. But you're catching some heat from, among others, the WEA. What's that like?
Well, you know, it's like every once in a while there's been two so far. You are shocked to find some attack mailers in your mailbox. And what I would say is, hey, WEA, keep them coming, because they are garnering more support for me than I had before you started attacking me. I've had lots of people call me and say, I received this mailer in my mailbox. I can't believe this. You can put a sign in my yard. So keep it up, WEA. Maybe I'll send you some flowers.
Yeah, I love it. I wonder if you have to consider that as an in-kind donation and report it to the Secretary of State. So I've seen the flyers that you talk about, and your opponent who has come out of the woodwork. And that's interesting, because if you look at the Republican Party platform and you look at Jeanette's voting record, they line up perfectly. And yet here comes somebody to primary you trying to run as a Republican. What are they trying to say? How do they try to differentiate themselves from somebody who stands up exactly the party line?
Well, basically, her story is she supports public education, which, you know, it really supports the WEA. First of all, only 20% of teachers are part of that, so I'm not sure who the WEA thinks they're going to get to vote. But she also is saying, you know, she's from here, which is not entirely true. Did you know that I've lived in my district longer than she has? She moved, she bought a house in my district in May of 2022. My recollection is correct. So I've lived here longer than she has in this district.
You think maybe, she moved there so she could run?
Who knows what the motivation
okay,
was.
Okay, just curious. Go ahead.
But I've lived here longer than she has in this district. And, you know, it's just shocking that a person who claims to be a Republican would run against me. I have been very much, as you said, part of the Republican Party platform and voted in concert with the Republican Party platform. So I don't think she's really a Republican. But having said that, it's what people need to know is that she was head of the reconsideration committee in the Trony County School District that voted to keep the book called Traffic in public school. It's a very sexually explicit book, and it's totally inappropriate for public education. She was head of the reconsideration committee that voted to keep that in our schools. And folks need to know that.
Absolutely. And, you know, if that's your opinion, you need to know that, too, because you need to know the difference. And I think that kind of brings us down to a fundamental truth, is it doesn't really matter what side you're on or what you call yourself. There are many of us that are true conservative Republicans that call ourselves that. And then there are a great many more who call themselves that because they can't get elected otherwise that aren't. And so my plea to you, the listener, is know who you're voting for, not just, you know, oh, I knew his dad. His dad was a nice guy, so he's got to be okay. You know how they vote. There are some really nice people in the legislature that vote like, in my opinion, morons. And it's frustrating. It's you know, there are some of them, and I could name several names where I've known of them or known their families for a couple of generations now. And I'm shocked when I start looking at how they actually vote. But you need to dig that out. One way to do that is to go to crosscreekmedia.com, and there's a little tab there that says opinions and podcasts. And when you click on that, it brings up 10 different rating sites. And each of these rating sites look at legislators, they look at their votes, and they tally them up, and they have different methodology. And yet the results are remarkably similar. You see the same 20 or 24 people who are listed in there as conservative, and then everybody else on the other side of the spectrum. And there is quite a gulf in the middle when you really get down and look at that. So what's, Jeanette, what's your plans, assuming that you get reelected, and I believe that you will, and I very much look forward to being with you down there. What's your plans? What's on the horizon for you?
Well, if first I need help to get reelected, so I hope that your listeners will go to jw4w.com or JeanetteWard.org and help me out. But my plan would be to keep fighting for the same things I fought for before: the What Is a Woman Act, the mask and vaccine mandates, never again in Wyoming, never again, outlawing the CDC and WHO, making the governor accountable for declaring a public health emergency. Never again should executives across our country, but particularly in Wyoming, never again should they be able to unilaterally declare a public health emergency without advice and consent from the legislature.
Yeah,
that is who makes the laws.
That's exactly what your bill would have done. I think the legislature would have had, what was it, 72 hours to be able to respond and either confirm or reject. And yes, it needs to be that way, especially when you have someone who has established the fact, and a lame duck, I might add, who has established the fact that he doesn't really care what the legislature or the people think. He's going to do what he thinks is best because maybe he just knows better.
Yep, that is how he's governing indeed.
It is.
So again,
go ahead.
And also for Second Amendment rights, I will continue to fight for that. I voted for and was a co-sponsor on HB 125 that would have eliminated gun-free zones, and for HB 148, which would have placed reasonable restrictions on abortuaries, and particularly the abortuary here in my town, that they can't damage and mutilate women with impunity. They would have to at least follow some guidelines. And again, passed both houses of the legislature, and the governor vetoed it. What kind of a man doesn't protect women?
That is a great question. Certainly not one that I want to be friends with or work for or see reelected. I'm not really sure how to broach the next topic, but there are about, 24 of us down there that work together. You know, we're constantly co-sponsoring each other's bills and encouraging each other. We meet in the mornings before the day's session starts for prayer. And it is remarkable to me how quickly and how quickly it happened and how close we've all become. And it is like a brotherhood. I am a combat veteran. I didn't necessarily see action per se, although we did endure some pretty interesting times. And coming out of that trauma, you develop a closeness to people around you. And I have to say, I have to say that a lot of us feel very much that way about each other. Have you any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I fully agree. And again, I can't thank you enough for your service. But yes, it is like being in combat together, shoulder to shoulder with my brothers and sisters. And I very much enjoy and look forward to those prayer times that we have before the legislature convenes. I couldn't make them every day because I'm also working while I'm in the legislature. But on the days that I could make them, they're such a blessing. And I'd encourage your listeners to pray for us. Pray for our state and pray for our country. Pray that God-fearing conservatives would be elected at every level of office, not just the legislature, but school board, city council, county board, and get involved. Get involved and pray for our great state. So God bless Wyoming.
I could not agree more myself. I just want to say, you had appealed for some help for your campaign, and I want to echo that. There are some key races around the state. Ben Hornock's one down there in Laramie County. You and Tony there in Natrona County. And they go on. I'm a little bit stunned that nobody has come out of the woodwork yet. It still likely will happen to challenge me. That would be another, I think, kind of critical race. And I would encourage you to be aware. Know not only who they are, but who the other legislators are around the state. And you know what? You send them $20, $50, $100, whatever it is. That makes a difference. It makes a difference in attitude for the person that receives it. It makes a difference when you file that report. For example, some of these folks that have been there for several years, you go and you look at them, and all their money's PAC money. They're taking money from Pfizer. They're taking money from this, from the WEA, from wherever, you know. When you look at a lot of our donation lists, it's $20 here, $50 here, $100 here from our neighbors and our friends. That tells you something. That tells you something about the political process and who somebody is.
Amen. If Pfizer sent me a donation, I'd return it.
Yeah.
Or the Wyoming Hospital Association, I'd return it.
And if the WEA sends you another flyer, frame it. I got a kick out of Rachel saying that. She got their letter saying basically, if you don't get enough points in their survey, which none of us did, they'll send you a letter that says that you don't qualify for any help from us. Well, duh. And Rachel framed it, and I love it. Anyway, any last thoughts, and give us your contact information one more time, please.
Oh, like I said, I'm Jeanette Ward, House District 57, running for re-election. I'm pro-life, pro-freedom, pro-Second Amendment, and pro-family. And I'd love your help if you'd go to jw4w.com, give me a donation, or sign up for emails. That would be wonderful. And thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here. Look forward to many happy returns. And thank you for being the lioness that you are on the floor. It is a joy. It is a joy serving with you.
Likewise, my brother.
All right. Thank you. And we'll catch you all on the next side. Bye now.
Sounds great. God bless. Bye-bye.